Hi, it's Club C again, and Joe here.
Hi, Joe.
Talking with Dakota this time. Hi, Dakota.
Hi, guys.
Dakota and I worked together for about 5 minutes. How many years ago?
Let's say 10.
And then we worked together briefly again for
Dial Global.
And you were in a whole different department, so I saw you in passing sometime. And I think I would overhear you and Jennifer Page, JP, talk about musician stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I learned how musical you were. And then last week, I got to see you play piano and sing, and it's just amazing.
We had a hootenanny.
It's a shenanigans and a hootenanny.
I'd like to say from chemo or cancer, what sudden friendship spring. Our friendship has grown because we've both been diagnosed.
Yeah, there's just that common thread.
Tell about your cancer.
So I was diagnosed with stage 4B cervical cancer in June. I got what's called ascites, which is fluid buildup in your abdomen. I couldn't fit into my pants, you know, and so when my vanity is affected, I have to go to the doctor.
Make an appointment, honey.
And I went to a couple and they kept missing it. Finally, the ascites got bad where I looked, you know, 3 months pregnant. And I had a little shortness of breath, so I went ahead and checked myself into the ER. And you know how it is with insurance. I called the insurance company. They weren't there. I wanted to get permission to go to the ER, you know. So finally, I went on my own, and I felt, is this serious enough, or am I just being a big baby about it? And then they ended up admitting me to the hospital that night. And I got the diagnosis, I think, 3 days later.
Did they do a biopsy, or did they just see it in an x-ray?
They took the fluid out. They extracted the fluid, and the fluid had cancer. But when they did the surgery, it's kind of interesting. They took everything out. All my girly parts went. And then they did the biopsies on that. And then they decided they found a little tumor in the cervix and that was the primary cancer and it had metastasized to the ovaries. It was a little bit of mystery. They had to send it to a second lab person at Stanford and the big experts and stuff. So, and they say when doctors are doing these biopsies, it's almost an art. It's not like, oh, the cells look like that and that goes into that category. They really have to feel it out.
They're going to analyze it.
They do, yeah.
All different ways.
It sounds almost intuitive for them, you know, on the close cases like mine was.
Did that affect which doctor you ended up with?
Gynecological cancers.
Gynecological.
Yeah. So it didn't, and I have such an awesome, there's a surgeon, you know, and then the oncology doctor, and I know you're going to experience it, a different surgeon than they, and
in
is your
different order too.
Right. I had the surgery first, and then now I'm doing the chemo, and I have my sixth chemo, and this today is the 21st of something.
November.
Okay, November. So
chemo brain strikes again.
It's called chemo brain, and it's
we're going to forget what we're talking about in a few minutes.
I know it's an actual experience. It's not just something that we say as an excuse. It's we both experience it.
It's real.
So your surgeon is that a
breast surgeon?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's kind of hanging over your head, isn't it?
It really is. I can't even wrap my head around it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going through the chemo like you. I'm a treatment and a week behind Dakota on chemo. Mm-hmm. So
we're on alternate weeks. So I have a bad week and she has a bad week. And then the following week we can go have lunch because we're
right.
both feeling okay.
It does lay out for about a week.
Yeah. And it depends. Now I'm on carbotaxol. You're on carbotaxetine.
I'm on carboplatin.
Platin.
And taxotere.
Okay, taxotere.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on carboplatin too. We just in the cancer biz, they call it carbo.
You know the buzzwords.
Well, you know, I heard somebody said I'm on carbotaxo 6. That meant she had 6 rounds. So you can add that on there.
Oh, I can say carbotaxo 6.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm on.
Yep. But Joe, about your surgery, one upside is after my surgery, my nails grew really long because I didn't have to do anything for myself. So look forward to beautiful hands.
I look forward to that because one of my side effects is cracked and sore fingertips now.
Yeah. There are these textbook side effects that people get from chemo and then sometimes other ones. I'm having what's called chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy, which is fingers and toes are tingling. And it's nerve damage. And then it gets worse and it's really bad in my left foot. So it's up to the ball of my foot. And it's tingling and numbness. But for some people, they have pain with it. And that may or may not go away.
Oh, you don't know yet.
After chemo. Yeah, we're correct. And people with diabetes can get this too and other diseases.
I didn't know that.
Nerve damage.
I've learned so much.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sure you did what I did and checked out a bunch of books.
Books. I stayed away from the internet. Not that we want you to do that. We're glad you're here.
We love the internet.
But I totally stayed away from the internet because that just makes you freak out.
Yeah.
When you were told about your cancer diagnosis, how did that come down?
Yeah, and they didn't have the test yet for a couple of days, but they came in and said, we think it's ovarian cancer. And the doctor, he said, well, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, we'll call it a duck. So we think you have advanced ovarian cancer. You could live 2 months or 2 years or 20 years.
Oh, my God.
So what I heard was, you have ovarian cancer, blah, 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 2 months to live, blah, blah, blah. So we said 2 years, 20 years. You know, it could be anywhere in there.
Oh.
So, but I didn't hear that part.
Oh,
so
of course not.
Until later. He was so nice. He came in the second day and said almost the whole same conversation again for me. Just because I think he knows, you tell somebody that their brain turns off into, do you want to hear the experiences? Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Somebody's going to be with me. What do I do with my stuff? I can't get a dog now. I mean,
you thought that, all of that right away.
While he was talking, yes. And I'm sitting, and you're sitting in the hospital bed while I was in a gown that doesn't close in the back, you know. And so you already feel sort of anonymous and
vulnerable,
out of your element,
naked,
fish out of water, naked. But I have a tattoo on my foot, so the doctors would come in and they, oh, nice tat, you know. And so it's like you come into life and then go out of life just naked. And so I recommend a tattoo.
I think I'm gonna get one on my head.
I have some temporary tattoos I thought I would put on my head. We both are experiencing alopecia, one of the textbook side effects.
Or male pattern baldness, I like to call it.
Did you shave your head so you wouldn't have big clumps of hair coming out?
Yeah, and it was starting to hurt. So I had
some people have that. The scalp tingles and hurts. I didn't have that. So there's there's always a wide array of experiences with this.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to when they told you that there was hope. Instead of what sounded like no hope.
Yes, it's so interesting. Now, coming up as a kid, you know, at the church, some old person might be diagnosed with cancer, and it was a death sentence. Now they talk about cancer like it's diabetes or heart disease. They say this is just something you manage. You know, you have a recurrence, and then you take care of it, and then you live your life, you know. And so if you have a year clean after chemotherapy, that's cause for celebration. The longer you go without a recurrence is great.
Yeah.
And at 5 years, they call it remission. Some doctors will call it cured. My surgeon would call it cured, but most doctors, your cancer's in remission if there's no recurrence in 5 years.
And they've seen on your tests, as you've gone through the chemo, that the cancer is not there.
Yeah, he took all the visible cancer
pound. Give me a fist pound.
Oh, fist bump.
Oh, you call it fist bump.
People are doing it more and more because of colds being transferred through your fingers.
Oh,
so the fist bump is becoming very
popular. It all has to do with health. We're all scared to death.
They do what's called optimal debulking. And I think they may or may not call that with your surgery. And that's when they go in and clear away all
the... Excuse me, I have not heard near the big words that she's been hearing.
Optimal,
go ahead.
Optimal debulking.
I don't think they think I can handle these words.
That's my thing for some reason. I like to hold on to it because they'll give me a word and then I have to practice. I practice saying it, you know, knowing what it is. And if I see it written, I'll have to find out, how is that pronounced? But that, anyway, is getting all the visible cancer out. And so they, and taking the biopsies of lymph nodes and things. So you're kind of pretty much clear of the cancer, except for maybe some microscopic parts floating around. And that's what they want to work on in the chemo. So I went into the chemo clean with the PET scan showing nothing. Can I talk about how PET scan works? Because it is so fascinating.
A PET scan is amazing. Let's do.
Yeah. So you fast just for a while. And so your blood sugar's down a little bit. And cancer loves sugar. So you go in and they inject radioactive sugar into you. And the parts of your body that react and want to start munching on the radioactive sugar are the parts that show up, glow. They light up on the PET scan. So your brain will light up because it's always active in your heart. And I think also your kidneys and bladders, but they're looking at other places, you know, and that's where my, you know, it showed up. I said my cancer almost. Can you believe that's what I'm trying not to do? It's not mine. I don't own it. I renamed it Senior Crabby. Because crab is the astrological sign, is cancer.
Right.
See, it all ties in. And senior,
I love it.
And senior crab, and I don't want to be a person who's at war with my cancer, with my own body. you know.
Yeah, I've never been the kind of person who wants to say, kill cancer, yeah, kill. You're going to be envision that, thing. You know. I envision construction workers inside my
That's
body.
That's good. Good imagery.
And I envision, they're all very handsome, and they're wearing hard hats, and they're working their tails off.
Do they have mustaches?
No, just the cops okay. have mustaches. Okay. Do you see, like, at the Alamo, guys with guns fighting Senior Krabby?
I think Senior Krabby has been a naughty boy, and he took up residence where he doesn't belong, and I'm going to spank him and send him on his way. And
what if he likes a spanking?
He's been around too.
You better think this through.
I really want to be compassionate about my body anyway. And, because one of the first thoughts I had was, what did I do to make this happen to myself?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
See, I didn't think that.
Was this from the years of... Now, okay, so with cervical cancer, there's not a hereditary element. There is a lifestyle element. And there are certain risk factors for cervical cancer. And being certain races... I think smoking is an increase, and also lots of sexual activity. And for a while in the 70s, they tried to link that up and say, well, promiscuous women smoke, so that's why promiscuous women get cancer. It's not the smoking. But now they know it's the smoking because your immune system.
I could see that would play a guilt trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
wreak havoc on your head.
Exactly. So, but I said, well, I ate so many vegetables and I had such a healthy diet mm-hmm. and I exercise. And of course, people I know are like, you? Out of all people, you got mm-hmm. cancer? I'm sure they say that to you,
too. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, there are so many people now who are diagnosed or have been diagnosed and have, they're survivors. Mm-hmm. That it's like, all of a sudden, I realized that it's not really that small of a club.
That's true.
There are a lot of people.
And that's the whole thing with it being a manageable condition, like heart disease or diabetes, it's just not the big scare anymore. Tell me about your diagnosis. Have you talked about that yet on any of your podcasts?
Oh, yeah. The biopsy doc called me.
Yeah.
And said I tested positive.
Ooh.
I said, okay, that means I do have
I know, because
cancer.
You,
and she goes, yes.
You think negative would be the bad call.
And then I called my GP. I said, well, what are my chances? Because no one had said anything to
right.
me about... No one had said we caught it early. No one had said we have every reason to believe we're going to take care of this and it's going to be fine. My doctor said, oh, Joe, no. Oh, honey.
Oh, good.
And I was like, oh, thank goodness, someone.
A really strong denial of, think a whole different way about
it. Or
this.
Just the possibility I wasn't dying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh.
But I thought... if this is my time, I guess I'm ready.
I did a lot of that. I thought, I think I'm good with God. I don't feel like I have any enemies.
I can't say that.
This diagnosis diagnosis has been really life-altering in a good way. My New Year's resolution was I was going to be live a life of transformation this year. I was going to be transformed.
Well, that's for sure.
Oh, be careful what you ask for.
That's right.
So, and it is a life-transforming event, and it can be what you want it to be. That's what's so important about is saying this, in 2010, cancer is not what you might have grown up thinking it was.
I want people to not be afraid. And I know that's impossible.
And we are so fear-based anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the fear out of it. And of course, with those thoughts about death and dying and is everything right with God? Am I on, I'm in alignment? Am I ready to go? And I really thought, yeah, I guess I am. I prefer maybe not to. I still feel like I have some unfinished business.
But there are a couple of days in my chemo cycle. And Dakota and I have talked about this before the podcast. We were talking about it. I'd like to address that where you just feel so hopeless. And I guess you called it depression.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is for a couple of days. And then the next morning, it's gone.
I arranged that people drive me to and from chemo. And mm-hmm. then I realized that wasn't necessary. Chemo for me doesn't even set in until about 24 hours after I go home.
Mine's 48.
48. Yeah. So those first couple days after chemo is when everybody wants to pay attention to you. But it's like, I really need you 3 to 5 days later. And then the fatigue is just so overwhelming mm-hmm. and just not feeling well. And especially if you're a woman who tends to live a high energy life, mm-hmm. yes. you know, be able to say what you think you want to convey. And lying in bed there, just I can't even find the words to, for how I feel. And I made the mistake of trying to balance my checkbook because I was home.
Oh, no, you don't do anything right after chemo.
Yeah, and so the body feels so bad, and that mind-body connection is there. And so it really hampered my thinking patterns. I started to, instead of thinking, don't worry, this too shall pass, mm-hmm. I really got into, God, this is awful. Who can I call? Just for help. Well, that's a good thought, actually. But, it's going to be like this forever. And then you go into, oh, God, it's cancer. And this thing can kill me.
Well, that's another thing here. The difference between us. I'm married. Mm-hmm. And we're living in someone's home. So I have a lot of people around me.
Yes.
You live alone. No. And your family's been wonderful to come visit you. Mm-hmm. Your mother's here visiting you.
My sister and my brother came.
So I mean, it's great.
Well, my brother says, well, I guess I can go home and tell everybody you're not dying. because we are doing so well. Even though, I'm bald, and so sometimes I wear my wigs, but I like going bald once in a while. And I was shopping when I was bald, and a lady came by and said, oh, are you having chemo? I had chemo. And so we were talking, and she had had breast cancer the year before and was a survivor, and another woman overheard us. Pretty soon there were like six of us in a circle.
Standing in the aisle.
Talking about, and of course they were all survivors, and they were just there to, I just think God brings into our lives the people that we need. But I also have an amazing support system of friends and work.
And you also have an amazing head.
I do like my bald head. The first thing I did when I shaved it was I put sun in, all the bronzer, suntan stuff on my head, so I didn't have the tan face and the white head, because I thought that was just a real chemo giveaway.
And Dakota also put sparkles on her head.
I put sparkles on, and I bronzer it with powder if I'm going out bald.
She has an amazing collection of hats and scarves and wigs. She invited me to her house.
Oh, yes.
And we hung out for a while, and I put on all these wigs. She has a $300 human hair wig.
So when Joe was at my house, she tried on all these different hats and wigs, and I took pictures, and we'll get those posted.
So. Oh, that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them.
The many faces of Joe Miller.
I don't wear wigs. Dakota's sitting here with a really cool wig on. And,
who would have known? It's platinum, and I put it on in the store for kicks. And my sister loved it so much, she bought it for me. We went to St. Louis to a wig shop. We're like the downtown girl shop. There's a limit. They didn't want me trying on too many. A lot of people probably come in and just try on their wigs and leave. So they, and it was like these blonde dreadlocks that go down to your elbow. And now I kind of wish I had tried those on.
I like that stuff.
Because I'm being outrageous.
It's funny what people think of you when they give you, like friends have given me wigs. I have a bright orange one, looks like I'm a hunter, and then I have a bright pink one from anime, mm-hmm. and then a multicolored wig with like pigtails sticking up out of the top.
Oh,
and,
I see that.
This is what people think of my personality, yeah. But I don't wear those wigs out. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And have you worn your blue wig?
Oh, yeah. Well, my blue rig yesterday, I was shopping at I shop secondhand, Salvation Army Goodwill.
Hey, me too.
Here in Parker, just the best. I got the best suit. And there was, some young guys came up, and he goes, that wig is awesome. A couple guys did that. Little girl says, is that your, I like your hair. And I said, thank you. And I said, it's a wig. And she said, what's your name? And she just wanted to talk. So it's a fun conversation starter, too.
And, if it's after Halloween.
I had fun on Halloween.
People are really intrigued.
Thank goodness I got bald right before Halloween.
So I was happy about that too.
I went, I have a Star Trek uniform, and I thought I could go as a bald alien. There's a race that you see in the Star Trek, but I just went with a big 60s wig and lots of eyeliner and false eyelashes.
Oh my God, you're beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, you posted that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just carrying yourself with such grace and positive attitude. You are such an inspiration to me. And people tell me that I'm positive.
Yes.
But you are just glowing.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. When people tell you you're an inspiration, don't you kind of feel like looking around and say, who are they talking to?
Yeah.
A little bit of, yeah. Wow. So it's nice to really internalize that and say, I am an inspiration. And not that that's my job in life, is to worry about what other people think of me, but to know that, yeah, I can do this when I'm carrying myself as I thought I would and living with dignity, elegance. It's just.
How do you feel about support groups? Do you go to support groups?
Yeah, and it's ovarian cancer support group, and I'm a cervical cancer, but they allow, there's a woman with uterine cancer there. And so the gynecological cancers, they support too. And it's wonderful to see people who have survived there, but there is a lot of recurrence. So it's a little disheartening to think about recurrence. It's really hard to think about recurrence.
Well, I haven't gone to a support group, mm-hmm. but I know there's a lot of recurrence because I've met 3 women where I get chemo who are back again.
Yeah, yeah. I've always wanted to do stand-up comedy. And in the book, The Artist's Way by Julie Cameron, she says, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And for me, that's, so I have told myself that if I have a recurrence, that's, I'm going to do stand-up comedy too. At the same, with the cancer jokes, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
If you have it, you can joke about it.
Yeah, you can. And people look at you like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that.
I was watching a baby on TV, this little toddler, and he's so cute. And I thought, God, he looks familiar. And then I looked in the mirror later and saw I don't have any eyebrows or any hair. And I look like a toddler.
Almost. Like your baby photo.
Yeah, exactly.
Dakota, what would you tell someone if they told you they were just diagnosed with cancer? What would you want someone to know?
Sit with it for a while. Don't worry. It'll all settle in and it's all going to manage itself. You just be there for the experience. And you know what? This is an experience in life. And why not make the most of it? And I'm not saying, you know, play on people's sympathy or anything like that. I'm just saying be there with yourself.
I'm so glad we talked today.
I am
too. I just love the way you are.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to connect with you this way. I love your blog and your site is awesome. I feel honored to be on there.
Thanks. Thank you. Keep contributing. Joe.